Crazy Dan Gunderson and me wanted to go fishing. The problem is that we needed live bait. In order to get live bait, we needed money. To earn money, we needed a job. But to get a job without raising our mother's suspicions, we needed a good excuse. We told our mothers that we wanted a job to get ice cream. What we got instead was an adventure. Now, I lived in Boca Raton, Florida as a kid. It was a much smaller place back then, much smaller population. We lived in a neighborhood between an abandoned orange grove, a polo club, and a country club golf course. Our activities were normal for free-range kids of the day. We spent our time swimming, with and without alligators, climbing trees, exploring the backwoods like we were related to Bigfoot. Dan Gunderson was my best friend. He lived down the street from me. Dan's father worked at the same place as my father. That's how we were introduced to each other. Parents do funny things to help kids meet new friends when they move to new places. I moved from Ohio. But we found ourselves being friends because we loved going fishing after school and exploring. We both liked swimming. We both loved being outdoors. Dan spent a lot of time at our house, sometimes even eating dinner with us. He became an extension of our family. We had a built-in pool at our house, and Dan didn't have a pool. Dan overcame his handicap of not having a pool by developing a knack for talking. He would talk to a girl if it meant he could swim in their pool. To put it mildly, Dan was not afraid to say what I wouldn't say, and he said it to adults. Now, you might be asking yourself, why would I refer to him as Crazy Dan? Well, because Dan would do anything on a dare. He would tie a hook to a rope, then hitch it to a passing truck, hold on to the rope while on a skateboard, and street surf around the block. He always beat us to wherever we were going, including the fishing holes. To give you an idea of the daredevil nature he had, once we heard that people ate frog legs at fancy restaurants. Now, I double dog dared Dan to eat one. Naturally, being kids with limited funds and without proper attire to go to a fancy restaurant, instead we put on our overalls. We went into the canals behind our house and we caught frogs. Unfortunately, my mother didn't think very highly of this. She refused to cook the frog legs even after we cleaned and dressed them. You know, sorry, Kermit. But that didn't deter us. Dan's mother was similarly inclined, and she said she had already ordered pizza. We asked if we could have frog leg pizza. I guess she didn't really like that by the look on her face. She pointed her finger and told us to go bury the frog legs in the backyard. We didn't. We're kids. We wanted to eat frog legs. Dan got out his father's old Coleman camping stove, and I got my father's old cast iron skillet from his camping stuff, and we went to our secret underground bunker. That's what we called it. It was actually a sand pit we dug, and we covered it with a piece of plywood in the orange grove, and then we covered the plywood with sand. It kind of blended into the landscape there. We even had a secret entrance, and we called it the sanctum. Yeah, right there. That very night, we cooked frog legs. After watching them move in the pan as they were cooking, I lost my appetite and I gave my portion to Dan. Dan, however, swore they tasted like fried chicken. You know, it's kind of funny. A kid's hungry stomach will always get a kid into trouble. Have you ever noticed that you'll do strange things that you normally wouldn't otherwise do because you're hungry? I mean, being hungry is a good motivator. It helps you earn money. And if you earn money, you could get supplies for doing other stuff, like maybe, a fishing pole, or fishing lures, or live bait. There was a store on the road about a mile from our neighborhood. The store had lots of candy and stuff like that. Heck, you could get a dipped ice cream cone for 25 cents, and a whole pint of live fishing bait, also known as worms. And that, my friends, is when things started to go sideways. Dan and I came up with an idea on how to earn money every weekend. Between our home and the golf course was the Boca Raton Polo Club. Dan and me, well, we often passed the grounds of the polo club on our way to and from fishing. We were practically members of both the golf and the polo clubs. We were known to the golf pros, the horse trainers, the polo players, the front office at both the polo club and at the 19th hole of the golf club. Sometimes we would do things for them, you know. We fished out golf balls from the water obstacles on the golf course, cleaned them, and we sold them to the passing golfers. We thought it was cool. At the polo club, we liked to muck out horse stalls on our way home because we didn't want our mothers to think that we smelled like fish. Yeah, that's true. But we decided to ask for employment at the polo club. An official cash job. We knew the manager put bumper stickers on cars every weekend, and Dan and I figured we could take over that chore and do a better job and do it faster for the low, low price of $10 each. Well, the manager listened to our proposal, and he told us, yeah, you know, you guys are pretty smart. I'm going to let you put bumper stickers on the cars on the parking lot, but I'm going to pay you $10 total, so that's $5 each. I looked at Dan. Dan looked at me. We nodded an agreement, and we took it. $5 is $5 to a kid. And the next weekend, Dan and I showed up as promised. The manager gave us each a stack of bumper stickers. And as soon as the polo match started, we started tagging cars. We became very good at putting stickers on car bumpers. I tagged every car that I could, right down each row. But Dan, well, he decided he would only tag the Mercedes and the BMW cars for some reason. It was like he was possessed. He even tagged the Rolls-Royce car that had a driver sleeping at the wheel. I think it was a limousine. Yes, he didn't like European cars. After we were done slapping bumper stickers on car bumpers, we found the manager, and Dan said to him in a very matter-of-fact voice, "We want our money now, in cash." The manager was taken aback by Dan's blunt attitude, but he pulled out his wallet and gave us each a crisp, brand-new $5 bill and told us to come back next week. With that, we walked across the street and made our way to the store. After ordering ourselves some chocolate-dipped soft-serve vanilla ice cream cones, we had enough money left over to get what we really wanted, live worms. Now, I know what you're thinking, but we had long before decided that we would only eat the ice cream. Worms make great fish bait. Kid food? Nope, not so much. They definitely don't taste like chicken, trust me. So we enjoyed our ice cream and we walked back to our house. We grabbed our fishing gear and we went fishing. The rest is history. Future promised plenty of live bait and ice cream cones every weekend for the entire summer. It was a great time to be alive. In conclusion, there is a moral to this story. Always check the bumper of your car after parking at a sporting event. Kids will do anything to get live bait for fishing, even if it means that they have to tell their parents that they want to get chocolate-dipped ice cream cones as an excuse. Thank you for listening. Till next week.